Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys. Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me, so call in numbers 347-826-7435. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. You too afraid to call, as always, I urge you, email a brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Also, you don't want to email me. If you're ghost listening, jump in the chat room. You got something to say. I just want to hear from y'all. You know, Facebook, got the Smooth Drama Facebook page. We have a lot of lively discussions on there, as well as some weird-ass posts. But I love it. Basically, Twitter, if you Google Smooth Drama, wherever you can find Smooth Drama, holla at your boy. I'm friendly like that. I'm so friendly. I'm so nice and friendly. Anyway. Get at me. Snapchat, making sunglasses with built-in camera. For all you people who Snapchat and take video after video after video, you know, scratching your boobs, or if you're just one of them people that, like, you know what, my ass is looking fabulous, and because I've actually seen this, people take a video of their ass and post that ass, though. You know, I mean, if you predisposed to doing that, Snapchat is hooking you up. Matter of fact, they ain't even Snapchat no more. The company is Snap Incorporated, because they created these spectacles, sunglasses with built-in camera to record snaps. I was like, wow, that sounds interesting. You know, you can have glasses where you just record and stuff. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, for one, as a black man, y'all know how it is out here in these streets. We can be out there mobbing. I'm not going to go there with mobbing. But we can be out there mobbing, and we can get shot by the cops because they like our spectacle glasses to look like a gun. I mean, it seems like if books can be a gun, toy trucks can be a gun. You know, spectacles. You know, you're like adjusting your spectacles, trying to take that Snapchat video of your penis or something. I didn't say that. Yeah, I did. But yeah, take it for a gun. I know I ain't trying to go there. But it's one of those things where it's not a joke, but it is a joke, because it doesn't matter. No matter what we have, we name Skittles, chapstick. I can't even break out my chapstick in public. I was like, I had to catch myself, like, oh, damn, I got chapstick. If I pull out my chapstick, am I going to get shot? I mean, we at that point now. But, yeah. Snap Incorporated is making them spectacles just for you. So if you want to record some stuff, and I guess you're going to have folks like signing waivers, like about a minute, you're just walking around with like waivers, or maybe some digital waivers in your phone, like, hey, sign this, homie, saying that I can Snapchat you and post it on my Snapchat, whatever, because you're not supposed to video folks without without their consent, because it is a crime. So maybe, being the conspiracy theorist that I am, Snap Incorporated is entrapping folks. Because you know black folks is going to be wanting to have them spectacles, right? And you got all these black folks recording and putting it on Snapchat, and these are federal offenses. So you're getting locked up. Slavery. It's a conspiracy. Damn conspiracy to put your black ass in jail because you just wanted Snapchat. Snap Incorporated. Hater of the 21st century. Y'all believe that? I mean, it sounds good, right? It sound legit. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm going to move on, though. But it's sitting right there. It's not that far off. And speaking of recording, Snapchatting, I saw they had this survey, well, not survey, but a study talking about sexting and how sexting can increase relationship satisfaction. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but hey, I don't mind a good sexting. I don't know, because I mean when they say sexting, it's like you're like having sex through a text, but I don't find that the case that you're talking nasty, provocatively. That's the word, because talking nasty could be like, you know, I got diarrhea and do you want to smell it? That's talking nasty. So I guess I should say provocative texting. But I'm sidetracking myself here. Now, they're talking about the positive side of sexting because, you know, most of the time we talk about sexting, they're talking about either putting kids, starting legislation to put kids in jail for sexting, making them sex offenders because they text each other breasts and whatever else. I mean, it's the dumbest shit ever. And, of course, y'all know about Anthony Weiner and his sexting folly. But they were talking about how it can enthusiastic consent. And as they talk about, sexting should be mutual. And I mean, it's kind of dumb because, yeah, of course sexting is mutual. Nobody just like, hey, you mind if I send you a picture of my penis? It just doesn't happen like that. It's just like, bam, hey, here it is. What's up? How you doing? I know you gave me your number, whatnot, and I just wanted to let you know what I'm thinking. Boom. What you think? And then they say, they go on to talk about how sexting has emotional safety, respect, and communication, and how it's not the same as sex in the sense that bodies are not directly interacting, but it's rather minds interacting through phones. Like, yeah, dude, we kind of know that. You know, everything about sex is mind anyway. If you turn on the mind, the ass will follow. You know, the whole free your mind, the ass will follow. Yeah. What they talking about just makes me laugh. And then they say, pay attention to attachment. They say the most interesting dimension of sexting research involves attachment theory, which refers to how childhood relationships with our parents can shape our adult ones. They say people who grow up to have a secure attachment style find intimacy easy. Those with anxious or even avoidant styles might struggle with closeness and cooperation. And they said sexting can help a couple become more attuned to each other. To which I'm like, you know, when folks are sending pictures of themselves naked, half naked to each other and flirting. Hey, you want to get some of this? Da 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 da. I don't think they're thinking about their childhood relationship with their parents. And I know what the author was saying, that those relationships shape how you are, and sexting can help in that regard. But yeah, that's the last thing on anyone's mind, how I'm feeling. You know, and man, you know what? My childhood was so messed up. I don't know if I can text you. It's just one of those things. And of course, they talk about the creative honesty. Yeah. And they go on to quote a study by Michelle Droom and her colleagues and found that almost half of the people in their sample of 155 heterosexual college students had sent deceptive sex. You know, saying they were often benign or even playful lies about what they were wearing or their state of arousal that were intended to entertain or titillate their partners. And they go on to say that women lied far more often than men, but mainly they were anxiously attached, implying that they worried that their significant other might go away if he didn't get what he wanted. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't think I'll be violating the man code by saying that a dude is probably not going to base his decision on whether or not he want to hang out with you by how many times you sexed him. Man, I don't know how that goes. But most normal folks, like, well, she didn't send me a picture of her titties, so I don't know. I think I'd base my relationship on whether or not I'd have seen her vagina by the 10th text. I don't think it's going down like that. But hey, you know, you never know. But it's funny how they talk about that. And I mean, for me, I don't mind a little sexting. I think most folks don't mind. It's just there are some people who can be inventive and can make it arousing. And then there's the others where you're like, that didn't work, but whatever. But I found another study. It's not too far off from this, though, where they said scientists have found that memories may be passed down through generations in our DNA. A study done at Emory University School of Medicine down in Atlanta found that it could be possible for information to be passed down genetically by chemical reactions in our DNA. So basically what that means is that they say that our phobias and inherent knowledge about different things could actually be due to what our ancestors had experienced during their lifetimes. Now, you know, for a lot of black folks, that's some horrifying shit. Talking about slavery, lynching, Jim Crow, all of the abuse that our ancestors suffered, that shit is passed down to you. You know, memories, whatnot. That is not a good look. I mean, I don't even think of that. I mean, obviously, I think it would have to be memories that you pass down when you actually made the kid, which for me, it was cool. Cause I sat up there and I thought, cause you know, as an adult, you may have had some freaky thoughts and memories. So I think of, and you think for some people, when you made your kid, how freaky were you? And were you passing that stuff down to your kid, those memories? I mean, if you was one of them groupies on the front line and you had a kid, like, say you was like Superhead, think of the memories that her son had passed down to him. It's kind of horrible. And I was sitting up there like, I thought like, you know, y'all, my mind works weird like that. I was like, man, that is some extra freaky stuff to think that, woo, I I could have passed on some super extra freaky stuff, and I'm like, I didn't do that because I was older. So then, luckily, you know, your kids don't do that. So you start thinking, ladies and gentlemen out there, when you made your kid, what had you done? Because that's what you passed on to your kid. Think about that for a second. So if we look at nowadays generation, you wonder, folks could say, oh, well, yeah, this generation is a trip. These fast little girls, these fast boys. Be like, well, if their parents was fast young, then they passed them fast memories and thoughts down to their kids. So that's kind of how they are. Kind of funny, huh? You start thinking, like, everybody who got kids out there listening, like, oh, shit, when did I make, did I, Woo! Thank goodness I had mine when I was young, because I was a true square. But if you weren't a true square, look at your kids again. You might need to lock them up. Anyway, I'm going on break. This is the Jungle Brothers. Sunshine.
WJBN. On your radio dial. The morning of the Fox News that rocks the box. Expect sunshine today. For yesterday's rain has faded far away. Now we seek a brand new day. A brand new way. Learn, my brothers and sisters. Love. Nighttime fades away. On to the next day. The weatherman predicts a clear, sunny Saturday. Relax, lay back, and feel in the cool breeze. Positive vibes and soul-centered melodies. Gather my leaves and all my minerals. Pick myself a bowl of vegetables. Ice cold water and chopped up fruit. Gonna be a long day, so I have to warm my boots. Stretch out my hundred beyond the sun rises. Clouds gather round and suddenly hide. Double back, cause it started pouring. Shoes are scared of the sun, don't roar. Given the light, but now there's darkness. Started with intelligence, now there's ignorance. Negative vibe, now I don't feel right. I want my sunshine, I want my sunlight. Same old story over and over. Somebody trying to take knowledge over. So I fight back with a native dance. Sing my song and chant my chant.
Just move my rather you got the smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the Jungle Brothers, Sunshine, off their album, Done by the Forces of Nature, way back in the days. Remember going out every weekend, we was pumping that, just because, I don't know. Anyway, something I haven't done in a while, but first, 347-826-7435, the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I haven't done a drug of the week in a while. It's been a minute, and I thought, you know what? I'm due. Viberzy. I think it's Viberzy. Yeah, Viberzy is it's a drug that's supposed to help you with your irritable bowel syndrome. Yeah, or diarrhea, constant diarrhea, as we know it. Well, you know, I like talking about the drugs and what they're supposed to help. Then I like talking about the side effects, because the side effects are so much more fun than what they're supposed to help you with. For example, you know, Viberzy is supposed to stop irritable bowel syndrome and abdominal pain. But the side effects are a spasm in the muscle of the digestive system called the sphincter of ID, which as sphincter, that just whoo, and it may cause new or worsening abdominal pain. My bad. So you think about that for a second. Viberzy is supposed to alleviate diarrhea and abdominal pain, but it may cause worsening new abdominal pain. And your risk for a spasm is increased if you do not have a gallbladder. And this usually happens within the first week of treatment and goes away when the treatment is stopped. Also, for those people out there who severe abdominal pain is not enough of a side effect, you have inflammation of the pancreas called pancreatitis. That also goes away when Viberzy is stopped. And your risk of getting pancreatitis is increased if you drink more than 3 alcoholic drinks a day. So basically, if you're a functioning alcoholic, you can get pancreatitis if you're taking Viberzy. There's also the regular old side effects. Not the severe ones like what I just named. There's constipation, nausea, and of course the abdominal pain. So yeah, this is treating your irritable bowel syndrome and diarrhea. Now, for me, I think if you're someone who suffers from IBS, it's a chance to get real. I mean, like, real. Like, you know what? I mean, and this is just me. Like, I'm putting my cards on the table. Like, hey, do you like me? I'm going to let you know, hey, I got IBS. And from time to time, in the middle of a good conversation or whatever we're in the middle of, I may have to go use your bathroom. And you're going to need to have a lot of toilet paper and air freshener in there. I'm just saying. And so I think it's a chance for people, because I know we talked about sexting and whatnot, and I'm thinking this would give couples the opportunity to be real with one another, like, because there's nothing realer than the IBS conversation, that is the realest conversation you could have. I've never had it. I hope to never have to have it. You think about it for a second. You like, hey, I like you. And you start, you know, and folks start talking about what you talk about when you're getting to know somebody, and then you just bust out, hey, I got IBS. And, you know, I'm going to have to do it. Now, can you hang with that person? Or would you rather them have that vibersy? Or the honesty? Which one do you choose? Let's talk about diarrhea here on Smooth Drama. No, we're not. Sorry. We're going to go back to some regular stuff because, woo, that almost made me throw up in my mouth. But yeah, vibersy. Leave it alone. Don't do it. We gonna get back to some good old fashioned regular politics, like here in the Bay Area. As some of you know, you live in the Bay Area, rent and house rates have skyrocketed. So, right here in the Bay Area, city of Richmond, they had a petition for rent control policy. Unfortunately, it was blocked. You know, the policy was to take effect on September 4th, but a petition backed by the California Apartment Association, as well as realtors, homeowners, and property management companies suspended it. Now, at the time, some members of the city council questioned the legitimacy of the petition, and it blocked the ordinance, which was passed on August 5th, the day before it would have taken effect. But in a report attached to Richmond City Council's Tuesday meeting agenda, the city clerk ruled the petition had 389 valid signatures out of a random sampling of 500 signatures. So it was projected, key word there, it was projected that 5,514 of the total 7,087 signatures submitted were legitimate, making it a sufficient number for the ordinance to be suspended. Now, let's think about this for a second. They didn't count the actual votes to stop this petition, to put this petition into place, because they didn't want rent control. And we look at the people who backed the petition against rent control policies in the Bay Area, the California Apartment Association. Yeah, they're not biased. They're for equality in rent and rent being okay. Realtors, because of course realtors have no they have no stake in the game. They have no dog in the fight. Homeowners and property management companies, those are the people who are for this suspension. I mean, petition. I said suspension. I'm off tonight. Anyway, think about that for a second. They checked 389 valid signatures out of a random sampling of 500 signatures. So instead of counting all 7,087 signatures, they projected 5,514 were legitimate, making it a sufficient number. They didn't get the actual votes. They projected it. See, because that's how true democracy works, apparently. The will of the people was for rent control, a rent control policy here in the Bay Area. That had passed, but the people who would have lost out decided to send in a petition. And thus, not with the votes, but with a projection of the votes of random sampling. How random is it? You pull 389 signatures out of 7,087. Now, yeah, granted, there may have been more, but I'm a guess of the 7,087 signatures, probably was more like, if anything, 1,000. Not 5,000. But, yeah. If you're in Richmond, you should write your council people, because obviously there was some checks sent to them people. And, I mean, when they come back from their vacation, you might want to holler at them. Like, hey, how did y'all pass this petition and suspend our ordinance off of projected numbers? Not real numbers, projected numbers. I mean, it's like I'm projecting that everybody loves me and everybody wants to sleep with me. But that doesn't mean that is true. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it sounded good. No, but I'm just saying, you think about that for a second. Projecting. I'm the winner. Whatever it is, I'm projecting, because out of 500 of the 7,000 votes, 389 of them were for me. Like, you pulled 389 votes for me, but the other 6,000 whatever, we're just going to project that I'm going to win like 70-80% of them. Okay. No controversy, right? No controversy whatsoever. It sounds kind of scandalous to me, but I could be wrong. I mean, but I couldn't be no wronger than, a couple of cats this week. This Florida representative, Matt Gaetz. Yeah, I mean, Matt Gaetz. I almost had him as hater of the week, but I got some extra haters out there. This dude, Florida Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez, died in a boating accident. You know, people were upset. You know, they were fans of his. Young man, 24, he died. Matt Gaetz, a Republican out of Florida, says, "To all who will kneel during the anthem today, just remember how Jose Fernandez risked his life just for the chance to stand for it." Now, like, a boating accident has nothing to do with risking your life. I'm sitting up there like, these are like two unrelated things. Colin Kaepernick is kneeling because of injustice to black people here in America. Jose Fernandez was regrettably in a boating accident where he lost his life. Had nothing to do with risking his life for the chance to stand for the national anthem. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But see, once again, instead of talking about the real issue, these punk bitch ass motherfuckers go about trying to talk about anything but the reality of the oppression. Because we're talking about somebody who was killed because they were unarmed. Car broke down. I mean, we don't have to go. We all know. And there was video to it. And this, he talking about a boat act. It's like where do they get these cats from? I'm like, isn't there like a cobra or something that could like slither into his office and bite him and kill him? I mean, damn. Anyway. Also, moving on to another idiot. A Nebraska regent. A member of Nebraska's Board of Regents, the University of Nebraska. He disagreed with the players because there are three Nebraska players who kneeled during the national anthem versus Northwestern this weekend. And Regent Hal Dahl told the Lincoln Journal Star that the players' actions should get them kicked off the team. Let's quote Mr. Dahl here. He said, "It's a free country. They don't have to play football for the university either. They know better. Ned better be kicked off the team," he added. "They won't take the risk to exhibit their free speech in a way that places their circumstance in jeopardy. So let them get out of uniform and do their protesting on somebody else's nickel." Dobb continues to say, "Those publicity-seeking athletes ought to rethink the form in which they chose to issue their personal views at the expense of everyone else, because we know how Hal Dahl was so inconvenienced by three players on their knees during the national anthem. It's like, oh my God, my day is over. What? They kneeled? Three more kids kneeled? No! Nothing happened. Absolutely, positively, nothing happened to Hal Dahl. I'm guessing his steak was still medium rare. I'm guessing that his beer was still cold. I'm guessing the rebel flag that's flying in his house, it's still blowing in the wind. So, what is the inconvenience, Hal Dahl? None. The expense. It's like, woo. See, white folks. And see, you can tell the guilty racist ones, they can't even face the fact that the bad shit is happening, and it has nothing to do with them. They're like, well, why? Why we got to talk about this? Why are you disrespecting the flag? Then you're disrespecting the soldiers. They're dying over there. They're dying over there for your freedom. It's like, what that have to do with the fact that unarmed folks are getting killed disproportionately? Nothing. But obviously we can't talk about that because it's too much. And that kneeling that Kaepernick started and kids laying down, I mean, it's like the pressure that's on. And it's one of those things. It's like when you see those players who don't kneel and they're like standing by them, it's like the shame on them. You see the dude, it's like, oh, man, damn. I mean, because you look like a sucker when you're standing up and Kaepernick is fighting for your punk ass and you can't kneel with him. It's like if you can't kneel with him and you're on that team, you might want to, like if you're a black dude, just stand on the other side of the field. That way you don't look really weird. And to the Hal Dobbs and Matt Getz you know, it used to be back in the day, you just suck my dick. But then I just thought, well, shit, they probably like that. So I can't say that. And, you know, I kiss my ass, they would like that. So then I was like, well, damn, what can I say? I kissed my Uncle Larry's ass, and my Uncle Larry called me up like, dude, what? Why are you inviting people to my ass? So, I'll just say, you know, maybe you get bit by a crocodile or something. I don't know. In the meantime, shout out to the brothers and sisters out there not standing for the anthem. I never have. So for me, it's like, it's a no-brainer. It's like, oh, yeah, everybody else, y'all do it too. It's a public enemy. My shout out love to everybody out there fighting. Fight the power.
Get our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Number one, damn. Damn if I said you could slap me right here. Get it. Let's get this party. me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy.
Together you got Smooth Drummer. Smooth Drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Public Enemy. I think most of y'all know Fight the Power back in the day. You know, Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me. Straight out racist. Fuck him and motherfuck him and John Wayne. And everybody else that was like that. Motherfuck all of them. I don't know all the names. It doesn't matter. They just all on the list. Anyway, just in case you didn't know, Groundhog Day is something that I talk about. Not only was it a great Bill Murray movie, but it seems to be a everyday trial and travail of the black experience here in America. Case in point, Groundhog Day number whatever trillion here in America, where Darius Stewart, who was killed, 19-year-old, no federal charges in the police killing. U.S. Attorney Edward Stanton told reporters that a federal review found insufficient evidence to file charges in the July 2015 shooting of Darius Stewart by Officer Connor Schilling. Stanton added that the review by the Justice Department found that Schilling did not willfully deprive Stewart of his rights. He just shot him dead. Yep. Stewart, what happened? Well, he was stopped in July 2015 for a headlight violation, to which the officers discovered two active warrants for Stewart's arrest, including one for sexual abuse charge from 2009 when he was 13, according to the authorities. Supposedly, they tried to handcuff him, and he allegedly attacked the officers with the handcuffs, and Schilling shot him during the struggle. Yeah, now, of course, Schilling retired due to a disability, and that allowed him to receive disability pay. But based on the eyewitness accounts and the statement of the officer involved, the video and the quote-unquote physical evidence, there was insufficient evidence to disprove Schilling's assertion that he needed to use deadly force against Stewart. Now, of course, that family filed a civil lawsuit against the city of Memphis. Yeah, Groundhog Day. No real video. And you think that if there was real video, they would have showed it, like him attacking the officer and beating him with the cuffs. But it's always, but I'll say this though. It wouldn't matter with the video, as we've seen, because video just is a confirmation that we ain't shit in the eyes of the law, right? I mean, as we've seen over and over and over again, starting back with Rodney King, beating, took turns beating me, dudes taking breaks, tired, winded, tired, bending over, you gonna get some, and they said not guilty. And it has the floodgates, the ones we see, the ones we haven't seen. But they all are Groundhog Day. They all end with no charges in police killing. Save for that one time, I saw earlier this year when it happened to a white kid. There was charges there. Mysteriously. Maybe they got it right because it was police brutality. Maybe. But not going to rest on that right now. Talk about Bill Nunn. For those of you who don't know who Bill Nunn is, he was an actor in Do the Right Thing. He was Radio Raheem with the gold ring, love and hate, and Radio Raheem was the cat that was like, he blasted Fight the Power with his boombox the whole movie. Now, he starred in more than that. He was in Mo Better Blues, my personal favorite movie of all time. He got Game in 100 other movies. He died 62 after a bout with cancer. And, it's another one gone. Now, when you look at it, though, Radio Raheem dying in the movie Do the Right Thing is kind of a portrait of what's been going on here. Unarmed black man. It's a disturbance. They had a little disturbance in the movie, right? He had the little thing, turn your music down. He broke his box. He attacks the owner. Police come. Police choke out Radio Raheem and kill him. And then there's a riot. Now, police, and we are talking about it's fiction, right? But in the movie, police, all they had to do, cuff him, put him in the car, take him down, let him get it out of his system. He's mad. He'll get another radio, blast his public enemy for the next movie. Now, Radio Raheem died. Now, and we think about it for a second. We've gone over it and made light of it. But when you think, that was 1989. And we talk about things have changed. You've heard that. But, life is mimicking fiction, and it's not a good fiction. I started off the segment talking about Groundhog Day, and of course people made that the comparison to Eric Garner, who died at the hands of the New York police, choked out, whatnot. And I don't want to diminish Bill Nunn here. I'm not diminishing Bill Nunn, but by just saying that he was this one character, because he was all over the place. New Jack City, Sister Act, Spider-Man, everywhere. But it's funny how this character, Radio Raheem, that he played, is the one that most people know him by, and it's what's happening today. That Radio Raheem, the Eric Garners of the world, that's what's being protested by Colin Kaepernick and every other protester. We're not talking about the Radio Raheem. As I stated earlier, we're talking about everything but Radio Raheem. But why can't we talk about Radio Raheem? What's wrong with that? Why can't America and all these people who are quick to criticize and deflect, as it's called, by talking about something else, everything else, but the humanization of people, brothers, sisters, cousins, husbands, fathers, sisters, wives who are killed, not in bloody shootouts with the cops because they were ruthless villains, but shit, because they had a traffic ticket. I mean, was the sister in Texas had the traffic ticket, mouthing off to the police, you know, at the least, just take her to jail, hold her for 24 hours, shut your mouth. I mean, that is the worst that I could see human beings doing. I mean, we're talking about people who worship a flag over life. I mean, I'm not human. They look at me and I'm not human because I can't bow to y'all bullshit. A flag. That shit symbolizes nothing for us but oppression. I mean, every time I look at the flag, I think of shit, how many black men have been hung by a damn flag or in front of a flag to prove a point or just for a picnic. For some of you who know the original meaning of the word picnic, picker. But that's what we're talking about. The material that a flag is made of is more important than our lives. And as I joked earlier, it's like my glasses can be a damn gun. my Snapchat glasses can be a gun. I can be killed. I'm like, I'm in the car. My chapstick. Oh, he's got a gun. That chapstick looked like a gun. That's where we're at. Our lives mean nothing. Nothing at all. And it's a damn shame. But you can kneel and you're disrespecting everything, all of these damn traditions. That shit, quite frankly, why should we care anything about them? And on that note, this is another Smooth Drama production. I am Mr. F the N Word, and I'll catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama.